Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Split Screen Podcast, the official podcast of BlankPageBeatdown.com. My name is Shah Shahid, and this is usually the podcast where we compare film remakes. But today is going to be another one of those shows where we round up the latest Bollywood news and take a look at trailers for upcoming Indian movies. You'll note I said Indian and not Bollywood. There's a reason for that. That has a lot to do with my guest today. This is, I think, the first time we've had a celebrity on.
Please.
No, hey. So, this is a, for me anyways, it's a legit YouTuber, YouTube star. I've got Melanie, Movie Maven Gal, with me today. How's it going, Melanie?
It is going great. On YouTube, you may know me as Pardesi, which means foreigner, which is very apropos for who I am.
I don't think you're going to find a sort of a much of an audience that doesn't know who you are at this point. I think on the Twitter sphere, or Twitterverse, or at least in our social circle, I think you're pretty famous, I'm going to say.
Well, I have about 6,000 subscribers on my YouTube channel. Wow. I've only had it, my own solo channel, since the end of last summer. So here's my journey. So 4 years ago, Netflix recommended to me, because I like romantic movies, it recommended Diwali Dulhania Le Jayenge, and I fell in love with Shah Rukh Khan. Absolutely became obsessed. I watched Rabani Bani Bi Jodi next. My next door neighbor happens to be from South India, and I was frantically texting her, "What should I watch next?" And she's like, "Well, I like Hrithik, and you know, whatever." So,
how did that work out for you, the Hrithik thing?
yeah, bang bang, and on, yes. So we would go to Indian movies together in our town. I live in a western suburb of Chicago, and there's a quite significant population of South Asians here. So we have one theater that always has a Hindi movie playing on at least one screen. Mm-hmm. And then there's another theater that has Telugu and Tamil films every single week. So at first I started just diving into the world of Bollywood films. And then my neighbor said, "Hey, my coworkers are talking about this Bahubali film. You want to go with me and check it out?" And so it was my first Telugu film. I'm like, $20? This better be worth it.
And yeah, does this come with a massage?
You know. And so then, of course, I saw that one 4 times in the theater alone. And that started my path on regional films. So now I watch Telugu, Tamil, and Malayalam films as well. Sort of, you follow stars and director Mani Ratnam into the world of, you know, Southern films as well. So my channel is not just Bollywood. I also review, you know, films from those 4 main regional cinemas in India. And I love them all. And, of course, my commenters are always asking me, "Well, which one's your favorite?" And I'm like, it's like what saying, "Which one is your favorite child?" I have no favorites. Each one is special in their own unique way. So, we're going to talk about a few of the upcoming regional films later in the show today. And I'm going to do my darndest to get Shah, who is a little bit snobby about South Indian films, to widen his perspective a little bit beyond the North.
Well, you've already kind of you've started already, right? I think you were one of the major influences for me to jump onto the Bahubali train, and I enjoyed. I can't even start talking about Bahubali without getting sort of like overwhelmed with all the emotions and everything I have to say. But yeah, I think you're off to a good start. So hopefully by the end of this episode, I think we can get me converted into the non-Bollywood industries of India. But I do want to ask you though. I mean, you've kind of gone. You did say that your solo channel started as of last summer, end of last summer. What have you found to be the biggest challenge in terms of doing this sort of thing? I only ask because, unlike other guests I've had, a lot of us, we do kind of, I write blogs, I do podcasts, but relatively we are sort of behind the internet anonymity. It's either our words as text or our voices through a podcast. But right. For you, you really put yourself out there. I mean, in any creative field, everyone's kind of putting themselves out there, but you're physically, visually putting yourself out there. You're talking about all these movies. It's you in front of a camera, you know, day after day after day. Have you found that to be challenging in any other respect?
So the way it all started is I was a big fan of the Bali Fools YouTube channel, and I watched their trailer reactions and their film reviews, and they were heavily into Bahubali and that whole thing too. And they have a behind the scenes guy named Kartik who lived in the Chicago area at that time. And so I was tweeting, you know, they were saying, who's going to the first show of Bahubali, the second one? And I said, I got my tickets booked for the IMAX, the first show, which was $40. Jeez. $40. Totally worth it. Totally worth it. But can you imagine if the same kind of pay scale that there is for Telugu movies existed for like Star Wars or the Avengers movies? God. I mean, all those fanboys would pay $40 to go to that first show. We're lucky if they don't. Because that's what I've learned about the Telugu industry, that the price of the movie ticket depends on how big the star is and how big of a movie it is. Wow. So it can be anywhere from like, you know, $14, a normal price, up to the highest was the Bahubali for $40 for the first show, IMAX. Anyway, so Kartik said, hey, can I interview you when you come out of the first show? Because he was going to the second show. I said, sure. And then the fact that I could just on the spot do a no spoilers review of the movie without much prompting from him. And then he was like, would you like to come on our channel and do more? I was like, oh, okay.
A star is born.
You think people would really want to watch it? And he's like, you actually kind of know what you're talking about. So, So first I started on the Bali Fools channel and, you know, would do my perspective. And that was really nice because they already had 50,000 subscribers. So that introduced me to an audience. I didn't have to start from ground zero. But there are, you know, quite a few people who do just trailer reactions. I'm actually doing more, you know, film reviews. I do both, but because I like to share my excitement about the trailers. And also, if a trailer comes out and has no subtitles, now I have an audience of people to say, what did they say? What's going on? What's going on?
You're just crowdsourcing you're crowdsourcing subtitles, basically.
Exactly. Fun. So, but it's, to me, I view it as a conversation because my family cares nothing about Indian films. It's just like, that's mom's crazy thing that she does. The only film that I've made my whole family sit down and watch is the Bahubali films. So I made for my birthday 1 year, they all had to sit down and watch Bahubali when it came out on YouTube and you could watch it streaming. And then last year when it was out in theaters, that was Mother's Day. I'm like, that's the only thing I want is for all of you to come with me to see this movie. Nice. So, I mean, they're into things like Lord of the Rings, and I figured that was a good movie to share with them. So, and then, yeah, my middle son was very, very upset that Avantika didn't appear more in the second film. And I'm like, yeah, I share you're upset with that. But anyway.
Well, let me show you these other Bollywood movies she's been in.
Right. But, so, to me, it's a way to be able to talk about what is my passion. And so I view it as a conversation. I mean, YouTube analytics shows me where my viewers are. And I can see about 70% of them are in India. And, you know, that's the thing. People in India are just as crazy about movies as I am. You know, like I had never heard before I got into this whole world of Indian cinema, the term first day, first show. That is definitely a thing. You go first day, first show to show your support. And, you know, if that's similar to what the fanboys do for all these Marvel superhero films, but they don't have that word necessarily, I mean? But that's a thing. And it's just, especially that when I go to the Telugu movies, I just see it doesn't matter if films open on a Thursday night or whatever. There's going to be a crowd there here in Chicago, you know, because that's just part of the culture to go and see all of these movies and be enthusiastic about it. So I love that. I feel like I found my tribe. I found my people who are just as into film as I am. And so I view it as a conversation. That's what my YouTube channel is like I'm expressing my passion for it. And I'm always saying, so guys, what did you think of this trailer? Or what did you think of this movie? And then we continue the conversation.
Do you get a lot of feedback from, do you get that other, the two-way conversation happening on social media?
Definitely. I mean, we're going to get into it, but I expressed my amazement at the Sanju trailer, and then so many other people replied, I felt the same way, or I had the same reaction those opening minutes, you know, or... you know, because I can't read the Telugu press or whatever. So I'll say, hey guys, what are you hearing about this or whatever? And people will pass on to me news items or whatever. So, you know, it's very helpful for me because I don't speak any of the languages. I'm just relying on the subtitles.
And I think that also kind of speaks to how awesome it is that you do the regional cinemas as well, because I do speak, or rather, I do understand Hindi, and I think that's my apprehension for not doing the other stuff. But then you come along and you're like, well, I don't even understand Hindi, and I still watch everything else. And I'm like, okay, touche.
I know a smattering of words here and there. Like, you learn, I know what PR is, or YAR, or whatever, certain words, but I wouldn't be able to order a rickshaw if I ever went to India or anything. You know, I don't know any practical word phrases.
I'm sure there's some Shah Rukh Khan phrases you can throw at them, and they'd be like, sure.
What's interesting to me is it seems like in India, not many of the regional films are shown with subtitles. So it is a difficulty there for people to really experience, you know, like they might live in Bangalore and maybe a Malayalam film is shown there, but it's not necessarily shown with subtitles so that they could enjoy it and understand it.
But
in the States, we're seeing everything with English subtitles.
Do you find, though, that nowadays, I mean, like, for example, again, like, and you would know more about this than I would, but what, for example, with Bahubali, it was being distributed by Dharma Productions with Karan Johar. And also, I think there's one of the movies we're going to talk about, I think you mentioned, was a trilingual film. Do you find that as they are getting more exposure worldwide, that the movies are being made with subtitles or to cater to specific audiences as well in terms of language aspects of it?
I think for some of the bigger star movies, a lot of them are dubbed into other languages. Mm. And so if they aren't released in theaters, then people can enjoy them later on places like Hotstar or whatever. Okay. Like, you know, just last week I watched the big Mahesh Babu film, and I'm sure that will be one that will be dubbed in other languages. And so that's more the way that people in India seem to see some of the other industry's films, rather than them being released all at the same time with subtitles. But yes, some of the big films, that's what's interesting, is it'll be a crossover. And in the South, they might... for instance, there was a film called Janata Garage, which starred Junior NTR, who is a big Telugu star, and Mohanlal, who is an enormous star in the Malayalam industry.
I think I know who that is.
That film was released then in both languages. So they're trying to do a crossover and bring in both both audiences to increase their, you know, their reach of certain big films. So it's interesting to me how they, certain stars, I can't even manage because I can only basically speak one language, but so many of these Southern stars do speak other languages, and they may dub for themselves in the other language so that it can be released in multiple languages at once.
And do you find, so where do you fall on the subtitle versus dubbing debate? Because there is this was a big thing with martial arts movies too, where it's like, you can't listen to it, you can't watch the movie dubbed in English, it has to be pure, it has to be the original with English subtitles. Where do you fall on that with the Indian regional cinema?
I hate watching dub films. I absolutely despise it. And in fact, Bahubali is the best example. I need to see it with Prabhas's own voice, okay? Fair because enough. I am such a huge fan of Prabhas. And, you know, my friends were like, because it was interesting. It was more expensive here to watch it in the Telugu. So even after that very first show, it was like a $33 ticket. Whereas the Hindi version, which was dubbed with different actors, was $25. So everybody's like, well, yeah, just go, let's go see the Hindi one. It's cheaper. I'm like, no, you have to see it in the Telugu. Like, I mean, it was famous actors for the Hindi dub, but I'm like, I need my Prabhas. Come
enough.
On.
Fair enough. Okay, so, okay, fair enough. I mean, that makes sense.
But I do find the difficulty with reading the subtitles is, you know, you're looking up and down because you're trying. So I frequently, if I watch a film a second time, then I can really concentrate more on the actor's performance. I can notice more things that I might not have caught. And they can't subtitle everything. I do feel like I'm losing a lot because it's the way some dialogue is delivered. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, oh, this guy has such great dialogue. And then... especially for Telugu films, sometimes the subtitles are atrocious. Mm. And it's misspellings, and it's just weird grammar, and you're like, okay, I'm not getting
right.
the full impact of what they're trying to say here. But, you know, I have found I have, like, favorite subtitles. There's a guy that I follow who
right.
beautifully subtitles the Malayalam films, and his name is, if I remember correctly, Vivek Ranjit, and I have complimented him and tweeted to him how beautifully he has subtitled, especially like the songs, like the poetry still comes
right.
through in the lyrics. And, you know, I really appreciate that. There are good ones out there, but sometimes the producers of the films don't seem to put all the extra, you know, into
yeah.
making sure the subtitles are good. But something like Bahubali, they really did, and
it
paid off.
I'm kind of indifferent to the subtitle versus dubbing debate. I don't mind subtitles at all. But in the case of Bahubali, the reason why I like the fact that, because I watched it on Netflix when they released the Hindi dubs and on Netflix, and I think the best part to me was the fact that I could sell the movie to someone like my wife who, like, much less watch something like Bahubali. If she had to read it, she'd be like, yeah, that's okay. So I think it was an easier sell for my kids also. They don't understand Hindi fully. My eldest now started to read subtitles even for like Hindi movies so she can understand properly and just get a better effect. Even for her, it was, I think, an easier sell that it's like, okay, this is a language you've heard, you're familiar with, instead of something totally different. And again, so many people that I've sold it to has been because it was dubbed in Hindi, because it's like, okay, I can get. If you want me to read an entire 3-hour movie, two of them back to back, screw you.
Karen Johar was brilliant in grabbing up the Hindi rights for that film.
For sure.
You know, and making sure that it got a release simultaneously and not delayed later, as so many, you know, it's kind of like they wait to see if a Southern film is going to be hit, then they'll dub it into Hindi and whatever. So, yeah, he was very smart in getting on the Bahubali train from the beginning.
Now, talking about regions, different regions, and essentially, you know, coming back and doing movies in different regions, we're going to move on to our first bit of news. Melanie, I want to thank you for being here today, and we are gonna get me to move away from Bollywood a little bit and actually focus. Again, I'm gonna save it for the show. I haven't spoken to Melanie about any of my reactions about the movie she suggested to me, so you guys will be getting this live today on the podcast. So let's move on to a bit of news today first before we get to those trailers. Unfortunately, weirdly enough, the last month, the month of April, has been a weird sort of Bollywood news month. Instead of substantive Bollywood film news, we got a lot of sort of gossip and rumors, you know, people going to jail, getting out of jail, things like that. So before we do that, I do want to get into the bit of news that we did get. The biggest one was Priyanka Chopra, who has been finally cast in a Bollywood movie, which happens to be Salman Khan's next movie, titled Bharat, which is directed by Ali Abbas Zafar, who did Sultan and Tiger Zinda Hai more recently. The movie apparently is a remake of a South Korean film called Ode to My Father, apparently one man's journey through the changing sort of landscape of Indian history. The release date is tentatively June 2019. So, Melanie, how do you feel about this being the movie that brings Priyanka Chopra back to Bollywood from her Hollywood commitments?
It's interesting, like, what her thinking is, because she's very big here in the U.S. because of her Quantico show and films like Baywatch. But she's really neglected her Bollywood career for quite a long time, and I know a lot of her fans have been waiting for her to announce her next big film. Has she ever worked with Salman before, or is this her first time?
No, they've done, I think, I can't tell you exactly how many. I know they've done, they did Mujhse Shaadi Karogi together.
Okay.
They've done some other films together on and off. They're pretty good. I think Salame Ishq, they were paired opposite each other with in that ensemble cast. But yeah, I think they have a pretty good relationship on and off screen as well.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, obviously then she gets the biggest splash, right? Because it's going to be the Eid film for next year, because Salman owns the Eid holiday.
Right.
And, you know, so, I mean, she's going to get maximum exposure for what she's going to do. And, I mean, maybe she just enjoys working with Salman, and it's going to be, he will be accommodating to her schedule if she has other commitments in the U.S. I mean, I don't know.
That was kind of my theory as well, that I feel like it may have been an intentional thing. Because, first of all, this to me isn't a role that I would think is worthy of someone like Priyanka Chopra. Right. Salman movies are notorious for not really featuring, you know, much story significance for the actress opposite him. It's usually all about the male protagonist, and the actress, as good a performance they might get, don't really have much to do. Anushka Sharma in Sultan, as great as it was, didn't have much to do. And, you know, Kareena Kapoor in Bajrangi Bhaijaan, same thing. So I kind of felt this was kind of a not worthy enough role for Priyanka to come back to. But at the same time, like you mentioned, you do think then that it might have to do with the fact that she doesn't want to do much of the heavy lifting because of prior commitments in Hollywood.
I think that could be part of it. And also, it's just maximum publicity for her right. to come back and do something like this.
So my movie's a surefire hit for that, right?
And I am blanking on the name of it, but she did that sort of cop movie right before, you know, at the end.
Jai Ganga Jal?
Right, which, right. That made so much impact on both of us. So, I mean, maybe she's just going for the easy route.
Safe choice.
Salman Khan is definitely, like, not like Amir Khan, because, you know, he kind of holds his female co-stars up on a pedestal in certain ways, but he's not like Amir Khan, who actively takes a step back and lets the women's stories shine. Right. You know, as he did in Dangal and Secret Superstar. So, you know, it's like Amir Khan sprinkles his superstar pixie dust over the films to get people in the theaters, but really he's advocating women's stories in a way that, you know, Sultan could have been much more Anushka's movie. Yeah. And it was like, we got a little bit of it, and then, okay, it's Salman Bhai. Here we go.
Yeah. And that to me is the thing. Like, I remember when this news broke, I tweeted out the fact that, oh, great, so Priyanka Chopra is going to look amazing, dance amazing, but have nothing to do in this movie. Absolutely whatsoever.
Although I do have to get handed to Katrina Cave got the most awesome action scene in Tigers in the Height. That was amazing.
True. Yes, true. Yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess. So you can't fault Alia Bhatt for too much, then, right? So let's move on to another actual substantial news of Bollywood this month. Now this is a biggie, right? This isn't even anything we saw visually. This is just an announcement. Karan Johar recently announced his next project that he'll be producing, entitled Kalank. The most impressive bit of news for this is the star cast associated with this movie. The movie is starring Madhuri Dixit, Sanjay Dutt, Varun Dhawan, Alia Bhatt, Sonakshi Sinha, and Aditya Roy Kapoor, directed by Abhishek Varman, who's the director of Two States. Kalank, Melanie, I know this was the thing that blew your mind. This to me was also super impressive. What was your reaction to this announcement?
I was just like, they're making this movie just for me. It is everyone, and this is so star-studded. I did not realize that this was the project that Sridevi was. She was supposed to take the lead role, and this was going to be her project that she was working with Dharma, Karan Johar's production company. And then obviously with her passing, for the project to go forward, oh my God, to have Madhuri Dixit in a big movie like this, it is just my dream. It is my dream.
Yeah.
And I do love Aditya Roy Kapoor, and he's had some struggles recently, so I'm just pleased for him that he is attached. I think he does better in some of these ensemble movies than trying to headline himself. And so I just, like, my mind is blown. I mean, maybe it's kind of strange to just announce that a movie is not going to be for a year, but the excitement and just in my heart when I saw that tweet from Karan, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be so awesome.
And this was like a media blitz too, because again, when there's a little image with the cast list and then sort of like a scene that came out, and it was really amazing because the movie's a year away. This movie's tentatively slated for release on April 2019. And so they released the announcement, I think, the day before shooting, which marked 1 year prior to the release date. And this was a big deal. Even from behind the scenes, the movie also is produced by Dharma Productions, like you mentioned, which is Karan Johar's production, as well as Fox Star and Sajid Nadiadwala, who is Nadiadwala grandson's company. So three big sort of producers coming behind the scenes as well for this. I remember the first images from set also featured Varun Dhawan's dad, who showed up to kind of watch things. And I'm like, this feels like way too many cooks in front of the camera, which I love. But behind the camera, I feel like this Abhishek Varman guy is going to have a lot to worry about with all these producers kind of hanging around over his shoulder.
I do love Two States. That is just one of those films that I really love. I'm not sure that I have seen anything else by this director, but yeah, this is a lot on his shoulders to go from a smaller film like Two States, and then this is really big. I do love what Karan Johar does with his production company. He really seems to be mentoring younger mm-hmm. directors, giving a lot of young directors who have worked as assistant directors, then letting them do projects. And, you know, he's taking on the tradition of what his father did right. and exactly. as a producer and just making amazing films happen, which is what I love. And, you know, I just love Karan Johar, and he has just impeccable, I should say he always has the greatest taste. Not every film has been a success, but when he puts his stamp on something, and he certainly knows how to promote things and get people excited about it. So,
good or bad?
I'm just at a fever pitch of excitement about it. I know it's a year away. I follow Madhuri on Twitter as well, and she was posting pictures from the first day of filming as well. And so I'm just going to be really watching the journey of this film over the next year and just anxiously awaiting its release.
I also thought it was really sweet that... because in a situation like this, when you have someone replace an actor due to something tragic like Sridevi's passing, I thought it was pretty sweet that Sridevi's daughter tweeted out, I think, or Instagrammed the announcement that Madhuri would be taking over her mother's role in the movie, which kind of I thought was a nice way to handle the situation of, you know, if anyone was, any fanboys were upset or if there was any sort of fallout from this happening. I feel like it was like the perfect kind of moment to go, hey, this is not a thing. Don't make it a thing.
Yes.
This is happening. Right. Deal with it and just kind of move on. Did you like, in terms of the movie itself, I mean, the movie's supposed to be a 1940s sort of period piece. I like the fact that you brought up that this director, Two States was a small movie, now this is a huge thing. I do have confidence in him. Like you said, this guy, going back to your comments, he was a third AD on My Name is Khan with Karan Johar. So that's kind of where he came from. He was assistant director on Jodha Akbar, which is also a period piece as well. So he cut his teeth there. Any sort of expectations from this either cast or from what this movie would be dealing with? Again, we're speculating at this point, but that's kind of fun, right? So,
yeah, I mean, I don't know what the plot's going to be about, but the fact that it's a period film and Madhuri is doing it just makes me so excited to see what it will be about. And, you know, the fact that this director may not have done something this big, we know that Karan Johar has done something right. this big. And if he is a producer, you know he's going to have his hands on everything. Yeah. And that the music is going to be amazing.
Oh, my God,
You know, and he will be, I'm sure, intimately involved with every step of production and making sure that the production values of something this big to have Madhuri, it's going to, you know, he is going to put his stamp on everything. He may not want to be there every day directing, but I'm sure he will be really super involved and making sure it is an amazing project.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think right while we're recording this, I think yesterday news broke that one of the sets that he's created of an older Delhi, the city of Delhi, is a set that he's built, closed set that he's created for 15 crores. So it's already kind of rivaling. I think the headlines now that are doing the rounds is that his movie is going to make Sanjay Leela Bhansali movies look small in comparison. So we're already starting the rivalry. The marketing machine's already kind of going into hyperdrive. So I do want to touch upon the fact that, so this is a little bit of tidbit that I think would be cool for you. I know you were talking about the Sanjay teaser and the fact that you don't know much about Sanjay Dutt, his life, and things like that. So the interesting thing about this is, and this is also a little bit of gossip that I usually don't indulge in, but because you're here, I think this is cool for you. Sanjay Dutt and Madhuri actually obviously are famous for, you know, Khalnayak and a lot of other movies they've done together, but there's also rumors that they were dating in the 90s, so things didn't really end well, apparently, so there is some behind-the-scenes drama involving getting them together on screen.
I have heard that it was because he went to jail and all of that, and she basically dropped him like a hot potato.
Which, girl.
Exactly. And, I mean, the Madhuri went on to marry somebody from America and, you know, lived happily ever after.
And Sanjay Dutt, too. He's moved on as well. Yeah. He's created a life for himself as well.
Yeah.
But, I don't think there should be any drama on this movie, but...
Yeah, I had heard that Madhuri specifically requested of the filmmakers for the Sanju biopic. I don't think she really wanted all of that necessarily to be in that movie.
There is a young Madhuri cast in the Sanju movie.
I know, but you know what? They could just show scenes from their movies or something and not necessarily go fully into all of that. So that's what's going to be interesting about it. All right, let's just get into the Sanju trailer because I can't hold back from talking about it. Oh my God, when those first images came on and how Ranveer looked, I was stunned at the makeup and just the way he was holding his body was so much like Sanjay. I literally for a second thought it really was Sanjay because the director Harani actually did film Sanjay Dutt leaving jail. So I'm wondering if that might be a coda at the end of the film or something somehow incorporated in. But I was stunned. And the tone of the trailer is kind of weird because it is very light. Harani's movies, I mean, he's done PK, he's done Three Idiots. So, I mean, there's pathos in his films, but there's a lot of lightness and comedy. And so, you know, Sanjay's life, what little I know about it, there's a lot of great things there if you would only stay on the positive side of his life, but there's a lot of darkness. So they did show that cache, a box of guns.
They did. There's a flurry of images at the end that make you go, oh, damn.
Yeah, and people have said Sanjay was willing for it to be a warts and all, but it just, you know, that's what's going to keep everybody wanting to see the movie is like, how much are they really going to show?
Yeah, you know? I think I've been going nuts talking to people on social media about this. I've had to kind of readjust my own expectations. When I first heard that this movie was being made, first of all, when it was the director Rajkumar Harani, I was like, oh, I love him, but is he really the guy to do this? Because in my mind, I'm expecting, when I hear the life story of Sanjay Dutt, I'm expecting a sort of gritty, almost Ram Gopal Varma-esque sort of, you know, like crime drama, you know, like a Vastav. Like Sanjay Dutt did this movie called Vastav, you know, in the 90s. And that was the life and times of like the small town street boy who becomes a gangster. And it's like this tragedy, rise and fall situation. That's immediately what I thought. I'm like, oh my God, his life is like that. So that's fine. When we got this trailer, I was very much taken back because I'm like, is this a comedy? Is this a dark comedy? Like, what are we getting here? I was super impressed, just like you, with Ranbir Kapoor, though. I'm looking at him so much, and I'm like, holy crap. His movements, his body language, his sort of head-bobbing thing that Sanjay Dutt used to do when he was... like, everything was just so perfect. And I'm like, this is creepy and amazing in, like, the most perfect way. But again, the tone of the trailer worried me. But I feel like someone brought this up on Twitter with me recently. And I don't know if you'll agree, but I feel like that teaser we got was specifically created for the teaser. I don't think those scenes are in the movie because there is a lot of... It is very much Saturday Night Live, sort of, where he's addressing the audience and there's a montage of him standing in front of what clearly looked like green screens in a lot of the scenes.
Yeah.
And he's speaking to the audience, and I feel like that was thrown together for the teaser. I don't think there's going to be moments in the movie where he'll break the fourth wall and speak directly to the audience.
Right. I totally agree with you. I think this was just to introduce people and say, look at Ranbir is going to be amazing, to show people that, because they showed us his look as Sanjay at so many different moments in his life.
Yeah.
And also to, I definitely think that breaking the fourth wall is just to kind of get people excited about the movie, but I don't think it's going to most of those scenes are not going to be, it's just the trailer. It's just making a trailer. I can make my peace
with that, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, some people on Twitter I saw described it as the Disney version of Sanjay's life. Mm,
yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I didn't grow up learning about Sanjay through the whole time. I'm just like doing things like reading on Wikipedia and I've seen some of his films.
Yeah.
But this is the same director that knows Sanjay very well because he created the super hits of the Munambai MBBS. You know, so he took what everyone, this gangster persona that Sanjay has, possibly in real life and in film, and then, you know, made this lighthearted film that touched everybody's heart. So I don't know.
And I mean, and I also
don't know
feel
how
like,
it's going to be treated in the biopic.
I also feel like people forget the fact that, you know, I think the takeaways from movies like PK and Three Idiots are that, oh my god, it was so funny. Oh my god, it was so hilarious. Oh my god, it was so much fun. Because the songs and everything else. But I think people forget that each of those movies dealt with a very hard-hitting topic, which we don't talk about in not just South Asian culture, just sometimes in culture in general, society in general, even North America. Three Idiots dealt with the pressures of the education system on you know, college-going youth. You had PK that dealt with the topic of religion and terrorism and violence and religious hypocrisy. And he's able to package these messages in a very relatable, fun, commercially viable, and enjoyable way. So I don't...
There was suicide
right.
in Three Idiots. So there were definitely moments of darkness in all of those films, and yet, like you say, it's wrapped in a commercial package that makes for extremely entertaining film.
And again, and the more I start thinking about how the trailer was made, you know, Sanjay Dutt's life is, he was, what I always say, he was the original star kid. He's the kid of, you know, Sunil Dutt and Nargis, some of the biggest stars in the Indian, sort of, in historical Indian cinema.
Yeah.
And he was the original star kid before that was a thing, before we went star kids, blah, 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 nepotism. He was the one. And his career's been so sort of in the public eye that audiences do feel a connection to him. You know, that his nickname, Sanju Baba, comes from this thing of like you know, people feeling really close to him. So I think Rajkumar Hirani took advantage of that here, where he had the character talk directly to the audiences in a teaser that was created solely for audiences. And I'm okay with that. And I'm dying to see this movie.
And also, I think the film, everyone had thought the film was going to be called Dutt. And the fact, just speaking to what you were just saying, everyone knows him as Sanju, and so thus the film is called Sanju.
Yeah.
You know, that gives you that, oh, that warm feeling that we have about this actor. This is an endearing way to call him instead of just Dutt, you know. So that gives you a sense of what, you know, this is a director that has to come to Sanjay with warmth because they worked closely together on two films.
Of course, yeah. And I think if you're going to do a biopic that does... Because over the years, also, Sanjay Dutt's become very open about his past as well, about the bad times and everything else. So if you're going to have someone handle a movie about the worst moments of your life, why not have it be a friend?
I mean,
what's that? I mean, I just hope they don't sterilize and change and fictionalize things too much is my only concern.
Well, and the issue is, this is not someone that's been dead for many years. He's very much alive.
Right.
And he's cooperating with the project. And all the other people involved are very much alive. I mean, except for his parents. But I'm just saying, like, Madhuri Dixit is just one example. There's plenty of other people that are a part of his life. And so you have to tread very carefully. This director doesn't want to burn bridges with all of these people.
And that's the other thing too. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I agree with you. I wonder how sanitized is this going to be? You can be unvarnished warts and all about Sanjay, but then there's all the other people that are involved as well.
So I guess we'll all find out exactly how this all plays out on June 29th when this movie releases. It's a while away, but again, this wasn't even a plan. This isn't even one of the movies that are coming up in May, but it was just released. We have to talk about
it's
it, so we
too
did.
Big.
And
it's
speaking
too
of
big.
Two
we
big movies. Instead of two pinging two movies, this happened a couple of days apart. Our next trailer is also another trailer, which is a massive sort of female-oriented extravaganza. Weirdly enough, as much as I love the Sanju trailer and I love Ranbir Kapoor playing Sanju, this trailer is the one that really got me super excited. I can't wait for this movie. For whatever reason, I've been waiting for this for a year now. Obviously, we're talking about the movie trailer for Veere the Wedding. This has been promoted as a big ensemble female cast from Bollywood of who's who. We've got Kareena Kapoor Khan, we've got Sonam Kapoor, we've got Swara Bhaskar, and we've got Shikha Talsania rounding out this cast. The movie's about this coming-of-age story about four girls on their way to find true love, friendship, you know, marriage, relationships, things like that. The movie is directed by Shashanka Ghosh. He's done movies like Khoob Surat, which was Sonam Kapoor's movie as well. And the movie is being produced by, you know, Riya Kapoor, which is Sonam Kapoor's sister. I think Ekta Kapoor, this is a Balaji motion picture production as well. So there is a lot of sort of female influences behind the camera, in front of the camera, and that sort of thing. I love this trailer. For whatever reason,
amazing.
I love this trailer. All the bullshit people want to talk about this trailer, I absolutely loved it. This is what I wanted to see more so than sort of female empowerment stories, which we've gotten a lot of over the last couple of years in the Indian cinema, this was, to me, a sort of bigger example of behind-the-scenes female empowerment, where you have these major stars putting their egos aside and going, I don't need to be the only famous person on screen. I don't only need to be the biggest star on screen. I mean, the trailer tells a different story. But, you know, They put their egos aside. They come together. They're telling a story that looks beautifully remarkable. What do you think about this trailer?
Oh, my God. It was so amazing. I mean, I've been hearing, like you, about this film for a very long time. This is Sonam Kapoor's project with her sister. They've been trying to get this project together for a very long time. And they waited for Kareena Kapoor to have her baby, to lose the weight, to be able to finish the film.
Right.
And I'm so glad that they did, because just the fact that you have Kareena, like you say, instead of just one big star carrying a film, this is something where you have all of these female stars together in one film, and to have Kareena and Sonam together, it's just like a dream. But I could not believe how many F-bombs they dropped. It was stunning. This was like Sex in the City or the Hollywood film Bridesmaids immediately came to mind. I'm not saying that the plot is anything like those films, but I'm just saying as far as tone and having a female buddy film that's raunchy and goes there and talks about sex and uses swear words, and it just feels more real. Wow. I'm amazed. You know, so I know some people were criticizing, saying, oh, I can't believe how vulgar it was. I'm like, I loved that proposal scene where Kareena then runs into the porta potty, and she's just like, oh.
Why? Well, and that to me was the, I think, so, I mean, obviously the four different female characters, women characters have different storylines in the movie. One's going through a divorce, one doesn't seem to be very career oriented, which is Sonam Kapoor. And you have Kareena Kapoor's storyline, and I think I love that the most, because the thing that I took away from that, and obviously now I'm a dude, so this might fall into mansplaining categories, but what I loved from that was you have an Indian woman on screen getting married, all the lavishness that's possible, but despite it all, she has apprehensions. She's overwhelmed by it all. She feels like she has no control. And this is something so real that I've personally seen so many women go through in India, in Bangladesh, in America, in Canada. But the thing is, that doesn't make you a horrible person. And I think that's what I loved in this movie, that, you know, she wants to get married. She clearly likes this guy. Maybe she's not ready for marriage. Maybe she's getting cold feet. But all of that is normal. So many times I feel that Bollywood uses weddings as this plot device or as this plot point to showcase the lavishness and people dressing up and amazing song and dance sequences. And it's great. It's all supposed to be super great. Rom-coms feature meeting the animated crazy family. And it's all supposed to be like, oh my God, this is so awesome. Look at all the amazing people in this family. But from the perspective of a woman, it's like, I'm supposed to remember all these names and who's connected to whom. Because God forbid I say something wrong, someone's going to get pissed off and offended. That's a lot to take in.
I think it was very real, but also very funny when I think it's the fiance says, oh, we want to limit it to 200 guests. And then I don't know which dad it was. He's like, are you high?
Yeah. But that's the thing. That's how it is.
Wedding, yeah, because a wedding, you realize, both my husband and I are oldest children, and you rapidly realize that the wedding is really not about you.
Exactly.
It's the parents inviting the people that they feel that they need to invite.
Yeah.
And it's all those battles over the guest list and everything else. And yeah, there's a scene in the trailer of Kareena standing on a stage and looking at this huge crowd, and it's
in
just
her
like,
little fairy princess outfit. Yeah,
yeah, and she's like, "What the f is
there's
going on?"
There's an awesome
Why
line where she,
doing this?
Where, yeah, there's an awesome line where in the Hindi she says the line and it kind of rhymes. It's almost like a sort of rhyming statement. But I do like that she's sitting out there. And she's like, "Are we getting married for them or for us?" And that's always the question. Like at every wedding, someone eventually will ask that question, that, okay, is this for us or is this for them? Because what are we doing? I like that. I like that you can do that and have the character, have there not be something wrong with the character, which is, I think, what the movie's doing. The movie's not demonizing Kareena Kapoor's character. They're saying, no, this is normal. Like, she's the hero And it's okay for all these things to go wrong and for her to have all these doubts and apprehensions. And I think that's my biggest takeaway from everything else. I don't think we've ever seen that in a Bollywood movie like that, where the girl doubts and the girl has questions and the girl doesn't want to get married, maybe, or has problems. And I think that's really refreshing.
Right. And also how it puts a strain on relationships when you have a big life event, because there's a scene in the trailer where she says, "I never thought I'd be doing this without my effing friends," or whatever, you know, because it does bring a big event like that, does bring all of these maybe simmering resentments or things that have been in the background. It brings everything to the surface. And there can be all sorts of drama behind the scenes, not just with family, but with friends who are resenting, or maybe are going through a difficult time in their own lives with their marriage or their girlfriend or not having a boyfriend or whatever it is. So. I thought that was great too. It's a very warts and all kind of look at it. I'm so excited about this.
I understand I'm not even the intended audience for this movie, but I'm just super down. I can't wait for this. This looks super interesting to me.
It always makes me laugh because we know what a rigorous process Hindi films have to go through to be passed by a censor. But yet, if there's an English swear word in the film, it's just like ignored. I mean, I always love it. Like the subtitle might have just asterisks or whatever. I'm like, I can hear that F word, people. I mean, it's like people are bringing their 3-year-olds to what's supposed to be a family movie, and there might be, you know, an F word in it or whatever. But this is going to have multiple swear words. Obviously, we got a ton. So I'm wondering, you know, I know Hindi film is not all now just the big something for everyone family films. There is more of a multiplex culture coming up where, you know, not every film has to be one you can bring your grandmother to.
Exactly.
You know? And there are those films, and that's great.
Yeah.
But there should be space for different kinds of films. There's been plenty of raunchy male comedies.
Oh my god!
Why can't we have a raunchy female comedy?
And I mean, and also it's also weird to me too. I mean, and I don't know if you can speak to this, being, you know, the YouTube star that you are. But on YouTube, I'm always surprised that, because when a Hollywood movie has swear words or any sort of vulgar content, it has to be labeled as a red band trailer with the obligatory sort of, you know, 18 plus preview red screen warning.
Oh, that's true.
For Bollywood movies, it's so weird that they get really explicit and really, I mean, not Indian explicit or it's not innuendo, like explicit, you know, F-bombs and everything else. And I'm kind of like, how did, like, does YouTube step in and go, whoa, what is happening here? That to me was always weird.
Yeah. That's a good point. So how is this trailer going to be shown, for instance, before some of the other more family-centric films? Are they going to have warning? Are they going to bleep it out? What are they going to do? That's going to be interesting when we see other Bollywood films and see the trailers before them here in the U.S. and see how this trailer is shown. So, it'll be fascinating. But I agree with you. Yeah, this is the kind of thing that would have a red band trailer that you have to click that, I'm over 18, I can watch this crazy content. So.
All right. So, speaking of, let's move on to the movies that are actually coming out in May. This was a diversion that we had, which was great. These two trailers needed to be talked about. All right. So, this is going to be all you, Melanie, because we're going to be talking about, as opening May 4th, hopefully, across North America, I believe it's a Malayalam movie called Ranam, Detroit Crossing.
Yes.
All right, Melanie, take it away. To educate me on this, because this looks amazing.
So, this film has had 3 teaser trailers, and Malayalam films are notorious for giving us trailers that basically tell you almost nothing about the film, and you're just left guessing. They don't show everything, and you're like, I've seen the whole movie, now what am I going to go see? Not at all. This stars Prithviraj, who is a huge star in Malayalam cinema. He has done a few Hindi films, notably Aya with Rani Mukherjee, and I think it was Aurangzeb with Arjun Kapoor, the one where Arjun Kapoor played a double role. Prithviraj was like the cop involved in that one. So he's crossed over some. This film, what's interesting about it, it has a debut director. His name is Nirmal Sahadev. He's been a writer on other films like the recent hit film Hey Jude, starring Niven Polly. He was assistant director on Monsoon Mangoes. But he studied film in the U.S. He has a degree from a Georgia college, and he went to New York Film Academy. And the film is completely filmed in Atlanta, which, if Indian audiences don't know, Georgia, the state of Georgia, gives huge tax incentives for films to be filmed there. Like, the recent Baby Driver was completely filmed in Georgia. And a lot of TV shows are filmed there as well.
So a lot of the Marvel movies are filmed there as well.
Exactly.
And I think
exactly.
The Walking Dead is exclusively shot all day.
That was the one that I was specifically thinking of. Yeah. Walking Dead is filmed in Georgia. So there's a... So that's one thing that's fascinating about it. So Atlanta is standing in for Detroit, which I did not realize has some sort of huge Tamil gang problem, which is what the film is about.
Apparently.
And, but yeah, it, so the Ranam means war, I believe. So, but Prithviraj is a big star. And sometimes Malayalam films, we get them after a week's delay. But he's a big enough star that I'm hoping it will come out the same weekend that it does in Kerala. So this is one that has been on my radar for several months. And what did you think when you saw the trailers?
Okay. So this was, I'm not even sure. I'm going to say my first Malayalam movie trailer that I've ever seen. So to me, right, the three trailers, like you mentioned, I'll link all three in the bottom here. The one I saw was basically with Prithviraj and this actress, again, don't know her name yet.
Yeah.
And they're just having a conversation, and she's kind of like, do you like what you do? They're sitting in a cafe. The first thing to me right away was the production value of this.
Yeah.
It's just a scene of them sitting at a cafe across one another, but it looks like the production value looks really good. The thing that was a little bit jarring to me was watching these South Asian actors in a scene that is clearly set in America, because behind Prithviraj you've got the American flag, you've got two characters of other ethnicities kind of, you know, chit-chatting. And that to me was a little bit like, oh, what am I watching right now? followed by this kick-ass montage of Prithviraj, essentially, like an action scene, like, sorry, not even one, multiple action sequences,
yeah,
I imagine, from the movie, and a quick montage that made me go, holy crap, what the hell is this? And when I say action sequence, I don't mean Singham style, 20 guys flying in the air. This was close quarters, baseball bat. You know what this reminded me of a lot of was Drive, the Ryan Gosling movie.
Yes.
Just because of the way the shots were framed and everything else. I didn't know about any sort of Tamil gang issues in Detroit. There's a second teaser that has Prithviraj walking from his car across the street up to a house where he busts the door in. And I think that, to me, crystallized how strange this setting of this movie is, because I don't think I've ever gotten a regional sort of Indian or otherwise movie that's set in America that isn't Kalhonaho or something about family and love in glossy downtown streets and, you know, Toronto setting in for New York and the skylines and things like that. And this looks like a action crime thriller drama.
Yes, definitely,
thing?
Definitely.
I have no idea what it's about, but I want to watch this because this looks ridiculously good.
So Prithviraj did another film set in America called Evide, which I have not seen. So it's not the first time that he's filmed something in America, and that was also a crime drama. So Prithviraj, he's done hundreds of films.
Right.
The Malayalam style of acting is a much more natural style of acting. I would liken it to independent cinema in the U.S. or the U.K.
And this looked very much like that.
Yeah. When you say it's not like a Tamil or a Telugu, it is not at all.
No.
All Malayalam films just have a much more natural style. Prithviraj has done other gangster films before, notably one called City of God. And when he was only 19 years old, he did a film called Stop Violence, where he played a gangster. I watched it without subtitles. It was so intense. I just watched a few minutes, and I had to watch the whole thing, even though I had no subtitles, because he was so insanely intense in this movie, even at only 19 years old.
Nice.
So he's had a long career. He's done very sensitive love story kind of films as well. One of the classics of Malayalam film is a film called Classmates, where it's sort of a reunion, college reunion, and then you get the flashback to the story, you know, in the past. So he has done some of the most iconic films on Malayalam cinema in the last 15 years or so. He's one of the biggest stars. And he just is one of the best actors in Indian cinema, bar none. And
judging by these teasers alone, I'm sold. I mean, I know I saw him in some other stuff too here and there in Bollywood, but no, definitely this is. I'm impressed. I'm gonna see where this plays. I will definitely try to check it out. May is kind of busy month for me. Deadpool's coming out. Han Solo's coming out. So.
I know.
All right. So let's move on to another movie that's coming out on May 4th as well. This one's as different from Ranam as you can get.
Yes.
It's 102 Not Out, starring Amitabh Bachchan and Rishi Kapoor, directed by Umesh Shukla, who previously did Oh My God, but unfortunately also All Is Well. The movie is essentially about, it's being marketed as a love story between a father and a son, not in that way, you creepy, creepy perverts. It's basically Rishi Kapoor, who plays a 75-year-old man, and Amitabh Bachchan, who plays his 102-year-old father. I don't know what to make of this thing, Melanie.
Yeah.
Do you have any insight into why this movie is even being made?
So, there was something that they were tweeting about. How many years has it been? They did a film together, evidently. Maybe 2 decades
ago
or something.
Yeah.
They haven't worked together in a very long time.
Right.
So, it's just basically the fact that you have Rishi Kapoor and Amitabh Bachchan in the same film. That's supposed to, basically, the trailer is telling you, that's
right.
All you need to know. They're together.
And even the trailer itself, there's a second trailer, I'm not sure which one you watched, Melanie, but the second trailer that kind of, basically, the storyline seems to be that Amitabh Bachchan wants to break the record of the oldest living man, which is 118 years old, which is not going to happen, obviously. But there's this whole storyline about how he wants to send his son to an old age home because he can't live with him anymore. But then he also has him write a letter to his wife, which kind of implies, well, are they not together? He's just trying to rekindle his son's relationship with his wife. But we don't revisit that thread at all at the second end of the trailer, but none of it makes any sense, and I don't even understand why I should watch this movie. It doesn't seem...
I'm wondering if it's the fact that maybe Rishi Kapoor's character has dementia or Alzheimer's or something. That
right.
was what I was wondering.
Oh.
There's a scene of Amitabh kind of like tucking him into bed or something like that. And so I wonder if it's that Amitabh still is 102 and has all his faculties. But that, because there's sort of a scene of Rishi just like looking, I don't know, worried into a mirror or something like that. That was sort of the vibe that I got. And wondering if that's the reason that he wants to put him into a retirement home.
That's interesting. I didn't even see it from that context. Yeah, okay.
I mean, but they're also kind of giving us a zany comedy vibe.
Yeah.
So zany comedy
like,
about
I don't,
Alzheimer's?
Like I'm having...
I don't know.
I'm having also trouble understanding Amitabh in a lot of the scenes. Like he's affecting an accent, like a regional accent. At the same time, he's got this hoarseness to the voice because he's 100 years old. There's scenes of him dancing and all those scenes. I'm just like, is this where he dies? Like, I don't understand. Like it, I don't know. This is a confusing trailer.
I mean,
I don't know.
I will be there just because I want to see pretty much every new release in the film and review it.
But it's not
one that I'm super excited about.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a regional film that's coming out the same. You know, regional films coming out the same day that I'm more excited about seeing. So I don't know if I'm gonna like run to the theater and see this right away. So
I mean, the only sort of saving grace to me is I really enjoyed Oh My God, which is from the same director. That movie was also adapted off of a play, and I believe so is this one, adapted off of a play by the same screenwriter. So. Yeah, I think I'm not that interested. I don't think we're going to go running to the theater either, especially because I think the next movie is the one that Melanie is going to watch in theaters. Melanie, you got to take this one too, because I can't even say this name.
Okay, it's Na Peru Surya Na Ilu Indian, India, which means my name is Surya, my home is India.
Wow.
And the star is Alu Arjun. And it's directed by Vakantam Vamsi. So, and this is actually his debut as a feature director. He has been the writer of many big blockbuster action hits. So Alu Arjun is one of the biggest stars in Telugu industry. He is one of the best dancers in the Telugu industry. He's playing a soldier in this movie, so he's known for doing action films, but I'm not so much about war movies and soldier movies, but I love Alu Arjun's dancing. And so, I'm going to be there for that one. That one, Telugu films typically open kind of like the night before because of the time change.
Okay.
So I might be able to see that one Thursday night, actually, on May 3rd here in the U.S. And so that is one that I'm very much looking forward to. Alu Arjun, his last film called DJ, he played like a priest, and it was very much a comedy, romantic comedy. So this is a very different kind of film, just going back to kind of his action kind of films. But he always has amazing set piece dance numbers in his films, so that's going to be a highlight for me.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, going back to when we talked about Ranam, and I was talking about the fact that this doesn't look like the typical sort of South Indian movie. Napadu Surya, that one does look like a very typical South Indian movie. I don't remember what I've seen this kid in, but I do. I think it might have been some sort of rom-com, romantic sort of romance movie. I remember, did he have longer hair in the role or something
that? He did a film called Arya and also Arya 2.
Yes. That's it. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. My dad watches this stuff when we're back home, and so he usually has the stuff on screen as I'm walking by. So, okay, cool. Yeah. So I do recognize him.
Yeah. Arya 2 is one of the best Telugu films ever. And it's very, it's kind of a romantic comedy, but it's very weird and different. And so, he had much longer hair in that one. So that's what you're probably recognizing.
Yes. This movie, I didn't really get a sense of the story, but It's interesting, again, because I come from this from a very Bollywood perspective. So I'm watching this, and I'm like, oh, the action is pretty cool. He seems like this crazy angry soldier who seems to be getting punished for being a crazy angry soldier. So I'm kind of like, I want to find out what's going on here. I'm like, well, why is he so angry? Like, he seems like a capable person. What's his problem? And why are they punishing him for it? So it does, I didn't feel like it gave us what the plot was, more about the character. I'm interested. If it comes on Netflix, I'll watch it. I'm not going to go to the theaters for this. I'd rather go to the theaters for Ranam, if I'm being completely honest.
You know what? I like different films for different flavors. And you're right. Ranam is going to be much more gritty. It reminded me also of Drive. So like a gritty gangster film. But I'm there for the Telugu films that are just big action, big production numbers, big crazy dances. You know, I like all of it. So,
and this is a commercial, like this would be considered a commercial big budget film?
Yeah, definitely a big budget film. And Alu Arjun is one of the biggest stars in Telugu.
Okay.
So this is one, the big film right now is Mahesh Babu's Bharat Ani Nenu, which came out last week. And it will be carrying over again this week. It's a blockbuster here in the U.S. It actually has this box office numbers, the highest that for a non-Bahubali film in the U.S. So,
and you've got a review for it on your channel, right?
I do. So this is the next big Telugu film to come. You know, they kind of gave a 2-week space, and then Alu Arjun's film was coming up.
Awesome. Okay, perfect. So let's move away from the May 4th weekend, because there's clearly a lot of movies on that weekend. Let's move on to the next, where we have another 3-movie trifecta, actually. Starting off with a surprising movie that I think caught everyone off guard. We're talking about Razi, starring Alia Bhatt, Vicky Kaushal, directed by Meghna Gulzar, who recently did Talwar. And the movie is essentially it's a spy thriller. It is a sort of a period piece as well about how a woman has to essentially become a spy to go to move to Pakistan, marry a Pakistani soldier or military person, and essentially spy on her new husband and his family and spy back to India. The trailer looked amazing. Melanie, I know you did a reaction as well. What was your thoughts? How do you feel about this sort of a spy thriller?
I love Alia Bhatt. My admiration for her acting talents has only grown over time. The first film I saw her in was Student of the Year, and I just said, oh, here's this kind of lightheaded bimbo kind of actress, right? And then she blew me away in Highway, especially that final scene where she confronts her family. It was just devastating. And then Uttar Punjab, oh my God.
Right, oh my
you
God.
Know? She was so good in that. So I'm excited that she is really the star of a gritty period spy film. And, you know, there's just going to be so many complications of it. Okay, you're a spy, but you're living as a married woman.
Right.
You're living, I mean, there's scenes of her having to travel in a burqa and whatever. So I'm just excited about this whole film. And the I've watched every trailer and the song and whatever just to get any little snippet of footage. I'm blanking on the name of the actor.
Vicky Gosal?
Yes. And so he was just in the recent Netflix Love Per Square Foot. Right. And I think he did...
I think he was in Musson, too?
Yeah. So he is not one of the bigger Bollywood stars. This is Alia's show, and he is, you know, I think he's a very good actor, so I'm pleased, and he looks great in the trailers. But really, I'm just pleased for Alia that she's getting to do such an interesting period film, and she's completely the star, so that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't... Honestly speaking, I wasn't too impressed with the trailer. I appreciate the fact that it's an Alia Bhatt movie. It's something that's totally not something that you would expect from a star that, you know, is as mainstream and commercial as her. So I do enjoy that. The thing about this trailer is the trailer kind of hits the plot beats that I feel like we've gotten in a lot of different spy thrillers anyways. You know, the training montages, the 10 spy scenes, the communicating messages. I think the selling point of Razi, even though the trailer, again, I didn't like the trailer too much, but I think the selling point of Razi is the fact that this is a spy thriller. Yes, written and directed by a woman, featuring a woman.
Yeah.
Story, her life. So it's, I think that is, to me, that's the most interesting thing, that I want to see how this works. I've seen how it's been done 50 other times by guys, you know, kids, students, terrorists, blah, blah, blah. I've seen all those angles. I want to see this, and I want to see this from the perspective of a female director. We recently in Hollywood, we had movies like Red Sparrow, which was, again, a similar sort of a spy being Atomic Blonde, but those were directed by men. I want to see this. Megan Gulzar is a capable director, regardless of man or woman. Dalvar, I thought, was one of the more sort of intricately crafted sort of murder mystery movies where you don't really know what happened because she's giving you so many different perspectives. So that to me is really why I'm looking forward to Razi. The trailer I think could have been done better. I think there's a lot to be said for Bollywood and their trailer cutting skills. But I'm interested in the movie despite the trailer, I think.
Well, I like, there's so many issues about a woman in peril in a marriage just at any time, whether if she's a spy or not, right? So here's a girl going to Pakistan away from her
family, obviously. I mean, even without a spy, like, I would be concerned about an Indian going to Pakistan, marrying into that family. Would there be animosity from the family or any sort of issues about her being Indian, you know? So
So there's just, you know, there's just all sorts of issues, like you say, the fact that she's a woman and being a spy, and there's a scene of her crying in bed in the trailer, and I kept... me being a woman and a wife, and I'm just thinking, okay, is she having to, because she's falling in love with him and she's betraying him at the same time, or is she, does he have children and she's going to have to leave children, or, you know, so, and you see her holding a gun against him. So there's just all sorts of complications that you can have. I was thinking about, you were saying we've seen this before with men. I was thinking about, like, Irfan Khan, was it A Wednesday that he was in, where he played a spy in
D-Day,
Pakistan?
I think it was.
D-Day, So, you know, like,
yes,
he...
that's right.
Remember,
yeah,
he married a Pakistani
girl. He had a kid, and he had a whole life, but he was, like, a sleeper agent, essentially, waiting to be activated.
Exactly. He was a sleeper agent, and he was living there with... and he had children, and you just... you saw he was trying to get them out, and all of that. So... that, so I, well, it'll be interesting to see how far they go. Does she just, do they just deal with the fact that maybe she falls in love with him and that's complication, or are there children, and what complications it means for her?
And also, I mean, also speaking from the perspective of Vicky Kaushal's character, in the trailer, you don't really get the sense that he's the bad guy she's spying on. It's more like his superiors, or, you know, the military organization he's involved in. So I also wonder what that does to him once, you know, if he does fall in love with her and it's discovered she's a spy, where is his allegiance? To his wife or to his country or to the military? You know what I mean? So I think that's kind of the explorations we'll get. And I know Megan Gulzar, like I said, is a director that's going to be able to give us that, like, in a thought-provoking way.
And just from a completely shallow perspective, as a woman, Vicky Kershaw looks so damn good with the mustache and the whole period look. Oh man.
I think we can move on that note. So the next movie is another, I think, South Indian movie based on Melanie's recommendation. Speaking of amazing actresses, go ahead, Melanie.
So there's a big crossover film coming out on May 9th in India and May 8th in the States. And it's called Mahanati in Telugu, which means greatest actress. And then the Tamil version is going to be called Nadagayar Tilakam. I hope I'm saying that right. But anyway, it's going to be released in both Tamil and Telugu, and also a dubbed Malayalam version, all on the same day. It has stars from all different industries from the South. So we have Vijay Devarakonda in a supporting role, who is a big star in Telugu. We have Samantha Prabhu Akkineni. We have Dulquer Salmaan playing famous actor, and then Kirti Suresh is playing Savitri. So it's a biopic film about this famous actress. She was famous in Telugu, but also Tamil films. She did several Hindi films. She had a tragic life. She was huge in the 50s and the 60s, and then she died. I think she was only 45. It's a huge, big period film. And it's one I'm so excited about. So it has all of these different stars. Some of the stars, like Naga Chaitanya, is playing his own grandfather in the film.
Oh.
So you have a bunch of people who are star kids who are actually playing their grandparents.
From the same industry.
Famous, right, who are famous stars of the era. And they have released one song, and, you know, so far, which is just a lyrical video that I just have on constant repeat, basically, that I've constantly listened. So my commenters have recommended to me that I watch the classic film of Savitri from 1957 called Maya Bazaar, which basically had all of the big stars of the era in this one film. And it's actually available online because it was released for its 50th year anniversary in a colorized version. So that one is online.
Maya Bazaar?
Maya Bazaar is the name of Savitri's most famous film. And I'm blanking. Can I look up the I'm blanking on the name of the actor that Dulquer is playing. So hold on just a second.
Oh, I think I got it here. Jemini Ganesan?
Yes. Thank you. So Dulquer Salmaan is playing the actor Jemini Ganesan, who actually, for Bollywood fans, he is the father of Rekha. So the famous, actress Rekha. So there's all sorts of complications in his life because he was evidently previously married when he said he married Savitri. So was he actually a bigamist or whatever? And then Rekha is his daughter through his mistress that he had when he was with Savitri. So Dulquer is playing a very interesting character. So for those of you who don't know who Dulquer Salmaan is, he's one of the biggest young actors in the Malayalam industry. His father is the famous actor Mammootty. And fun fact for those in the U.S., Dulquer Salmaan went to Purdue University, which is where my son attends, which always makes me laugh. But anyway, he is having a huge year because this is his first Telugu film. He's dubbing evidently for himself. And he's got his first Bollywood film coming out in June with Irfan Khan. And then he's going to be doing a film with Sonam Kapoor that will be out next year. So he's going to be starting to film that. So this is a really big year where he's breaking out from the Malayalam stardom into bigger and better things.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I think the Rekha angle sells it to, like, the Bollywood crowd. I can think of many people that we mutually know who will hear that and be like, whoa, Rekha, what now?
I mean, I don't know how much they're going to go into all of that, but yeah, I mean, I think, frankly, Dolker is much more handsome than the original actor that he's playing, Jiminy Kaneshan, from the pictures that I've seen of him. But, yeah, this is going to be famous because evidently this actress, Saraji, you know, the, like I said, the title, Mahanati, means greatest actress. She was such a, I mean, I guess it sounds like she was sort of the Sri Devi of her time. You know what I mean? She
That's was that kind of fit. What I was getting when you were kind of running through her credentials of being multi-industry and things like that.
Yeah.
And now, sorry, I'm just looking up Dulkir Salman as we speak. He was also the guy in OK Kanmani?
He was the guy in OK Kanmani, so, which is a Mani Ratnam film. And that was actually the first film that I saw him in. He's so charming in that film that I was like, okay, I have to watch every other film that he's ever made. And then I realized every other film was in the Malayalam industry, pretty much. And so he's been in some of the biggest hits in Malayalam industry, like Bangalore Days. If you've never seen a Malayalam film, seek out Bangalore Days. If you subscribe to Hotstar, I believe it's on there.
Okay.
And he's done everything from lighter films like Charlie to gritty crime dramas like Kali and Kamadi Padam. So he's one of the biggest stars, and he was my entree. Everybody's like, how did you start watching? Yeah, it's because of Dolker Salman. So OK Kanmani is a Tamil film, and this again goes to how I don't hear it. My next door neighbor speaks Tamil okay, and she said his accent was so thick she couldn't understand what he was saying. But he was speaking in Tamil in that film. So, and that film was with Nithyam and Prakash Raj. You know, normally we're used to seeing Prakash Raj play these kind of gangster types, and that's an unusual film. Mani Ratnam filmed him as this caring husband with a wife with Alzheimer's, and it's just one of my favorite roles of Prakash Raj.
Yeah, I know him. Yeah. It's always good when you're watching these movies of different industries. It's always cool to kind of pick out people that you do recognize and you go, oh, him, I've seen him.
Yeah.
But
guy.
I mean, yeah. The Mahanati teaser we got was essentially that. It was a teaser. It doesn't really tell us a lot about anything. The actress looks really good. She looks really like she has some screen presence. My takeaway, again, being someone who doesn't watch these movies and has only seen Bahubali, my thing was at the end of the teaser, you have that Mahanati sort of tune that comes on,
yeah.
And it was kind of interesting to me how, because that what that reminded me of was the Maheshmati tune from Bahubali, and what I liked was that it immediately gives you a sense of like this is an epic story.
Yes, exactly.
It was such a rising sort of a song or like you know tune. Yeah, that was, I mean, again, I don't know anything about this lady, but that was my takeaway. That seemed really interesting.
Well, and this is, again, why I love having my YouTube channel, because I said in my reaction to the trailer, obviously I was excited about it just because Dolker was in it. I've been following him on Twitter, and he's been talking about being part of this movie, but I'm also a big fan of the supporting actor, Vijay Devarakonda, who had this huge film called Arjun Reddy. That's one shot that you should also check out, because if you think all Telugu films are just, you know, people flying through the air and whatever, it is a really intense, very modern kind of romance story.
Okay.
It's sort of a Devdas kind of a film.
I've heard a lot about Arjun Reddy, and I think it's on Amazon too.
Yeah,
right now,
Amazon Prime. Yeah.
Yeah.
Blew me away. Absolutely blew me away. So it's just exciting, again, to have all of these big stars, sort of like the Kalank film. It's like, this one is for the South. It's like a big film. But anyway, having the conversation with my viewers, I was able to say, you know, did this actress, Kirti Suresh, did she capture Savarti? And the same way, like we're saying, did Ranbir, you know, portray Sanjay? And everyone said, yes, she's really capturing what Saraji was like, even in this glimpse that we're getting in the trailer. And also, I was able to say, so what is this, you know, tell me the one movie that I should see of Saraji. Oh, and literally every single person said, you have to see Maya Bazaar. You have to see it.
Okay.
So that's what I love about having this channel and this conversation with my viewers, is that they help me by educating me. I'm constantly learning about the actors and actresses and the film history. in India, and you know, and then I can say, and they hear like, and here's the link to watch it, or here's a song, here's a famous song from the movie, or that's here's a famous cool. scene or whatever, so I can get a flavor of what this classic actress was like, and be able to go in with a little bit more knowledge when I go to see the film in a couple of weeks.
Awesome. So let's talk about the next movie opening on the same weekend, which I think is going to give major competition to both Mahanati and Razi. We're obviously talking about Hijack, which is also releasing May 11th. The director is a new director who happened to be the writer of movies like Krish, but unfortunately also the writer of movies like Kites and Hubshuckles.
Okay.
Hijack. Hijack is essentially how I'm going to describe it is, it is a stoner airplane hijacking comedy. The movie has, as far as I understand it, I mean, as far as if you go through the IMDb, no major big name Bollywood stars.
No.
The selling point of this movie is the fact that it is a Fosse Phantom production, which
yeah.
is the Anurag Kashyap, Vikramaditya Motwani, Vikas Behl production company, and that's it. The producers, I think, of this movie are the biggest names. The comedy reminds me very much of Airplane,
yeah.
with Leslie Nielsen,
yeah. Yeah.
In sort of its tone and goofy silliness. This isn't usually my type of thing. I don't watch these. I dismiss these almost immediately. But for whatever reason, when I watched the trailer to see if I even want to include it on this show, I kind of liked it.
I did not have a very positive reaction to this trailer. I, like you, I saw the Phantom Production logo and I went, huh. You know?
Why?
But I just... Again, there wasn't a single familiar face. It's
right.
all unknown actors to me. And maybe it's just because I'm an American, but like having an airplane comedy about hijackers
yeah.
just kind of was like, I don't know if this is something that I want to pay money in the theater
completely,
to see.
I completely agree with you. And it does feel tone deaf, right? But
yeah.
it's interesting, though, to me that in the trailer, there's almost, not almost, actually, because this is the thing I was paying attention to. I'm like, oh my god, we're going to get brown people on a plane. We're going to get those kind of jokes. But there's none of that here, which to me was impressive. Like, to me, I'm like, oh, they're not going that route of, you know, the easy jokes of, you know,
yeah.
people taking over. There's a gag that I thought was really funny because the hijacking isn't really a hijacking. It's essentially what looks like, I want to say government agents, someone trying to stop someone from transporting something on the plane. So their solution is to hijack it. And so the funny thing is, when people are asking them, well, what do you want? Like, you took a plane hostage, you've
yeah.
got us, what do you want? And the hijackers are trying to figure out what fake reason they should give for hijacking the plane. So the one guy is like, well, we'll just play the Muslim terrorist angle, right? That's the way you go. And then I guess you have the Hindu guy who's like, no, we got to go with a Hindu agenda, right? And he's being like
right.
loyal to his religion. And everyone's like, do you know why you're... So it was really funny to me that they're trying to pretend to come up with a reason to hijack it. And they're having a debate about which religions of terrorists they should use. I thought that was really funny. I don't know. This kind of worked for me. The movie might not be as good. Again, writer of Humshuckles. But
well,
I don't know.
This is one that I was sort of like, okay, maybe I would watch it when it comes out on streaming, but
yes.
I don't know if I'm
yes.
going to pay
full
ticket price to go see it in the theater. So,
no.
And yeah, like you said, I don't, stoner comedies are not necessarily my thing. So
I did the one joke that for whatever reason had me rolling is when he walks in the cockpit and goes, I'm in a cockpit. This looks like a DJ console. And he just starts flipping switches. That to me, I thought it was really funny. But yeah, so I mean, again, yeah, definitely this is not going to compete with either Mahanati or Razi that weekend. I'm definitely going for Razi. But it's interesting. I think this is also an instance we see in the same month that a production company is essentially diversifying the genres of movies they're releasing, because Fosse Phantom does have another movie coming out at the end of the month, which we'll get to in a second. I really want to click on, and I don't know why we're doing this, I want to talk about the Parmanu release, The Story of Pokhran, starring John Abraham and Dana Penty.
Yeah.
The movie's
yeah.
releasing May 25th. It's a true story, supposedly, about India's first nuclear weapons program and things like that. I really have nothing to say about this teaser, because the teaser is 1 minute and change, and 50 of those seconds are CGI text and voiceover about some nonsense that I wasn't even paying attention to. And then you get two scenes in the end with John Abraham saluting a flag. And yeah.
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 I mean, it's something that I really don't know anything about, so I had to kind of Google to figure out what is this all about? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I vaguely remember all of this. And, yeah, this is one of those things where, as an American non-Desi, seeing these extremely patriotic Indian films is sometimes it's kind of odd, you know what yeah. I mean? Like I feel strange sitting in the theater, like why is my heart welling when I'm hearing the Indian national song? Like, you know. but basically to me it was like, yeah, John Abraham looks yeah. good in a uniform. I mean yeah. And you know, I think he is part of the producers, and yeah. it's interesting. Yeah. John Abraham is producing films that are really tailored to him. So
yeah.
him playing as some sort of army colonel or whatever is the really perfect kind of role for him. I mean, it doesn't look like it's an absolutely action, just no. act like Rambo action heavy yeah. kind of film. So he gets to do a little bit of a drama as well. But
it is this sort of slate of these patriotic movies that are more relying on the intelligence aspects of nationality and not the, you know, gung-ho, ass-kicking Rambo one-man mission sort of movies. John Abraham's done some. Madras Cafe was another movie he produced
yes.
with the
yes,
Shuji
exactly.
Sarkar, which was the Pico director. So, I mean, The subject matter looks interesting. John Abraham's involved. He's done something similar, which is interesting. Dana Pente, I like her as an actress. It's interesting. Just this teaser. I don't know what this thing was. I mean, it took me half the teaser to even realize if it was original, like an official teaser or like a fan-made teaser. But it just looks really poorly made. I would have liked to seen some scenes from the movie other than what looked like stock footage until Dana Pente and John Abraham show up in the background for one scene.
Okay, we're seeing helicopters. We're seeing, you know, right. like...
footage, archive footage of Gandhi and the Prime Minister and I'm like, I don't understand what this, like, tell me more about what it is you're talking about. So yeah, I hated this trailer and I don't think I'm watching this movie until we get some sort of better marketing.
I mean, I played it again because I was like, was that, I think Bowman Irani is doing the right. narration. I'm familiar right. enough with him that I was like, yeah, that's his voice.
I'm going to hear his voice. Yeah.
But I couldn't tell what kind of part he might have in the drama. They only show John, so yeah. that's it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not one that I'm that excited about.
Now, the next movie I am kind of excited about, and I really want to hear your thoughts on this. This is the I want to say the first sort of vigilante superhero, gritty, on-the-street level movie that Bollywood's ever done, I think, personally. I could be wrong. Feel free to correct me on Twitter. I'm talking about Bhavesh Joshi Superhero, releasing May 25th. The movie is, biggest selling point, directed by Vikramaditya Motwane.
Yeah.
He's the director of Lutera and more recently Trapped. The movie was written by him and Anurag Kashyap. This is also a Fosse Phantom film production. The movie looks very much like a proto-superhero type of film. Oh, I forgot. It does star Harshvardhan Kapoor for some reason. And this is the movie. The trailer obviously will be in the show notes. Melanie, I want to ask you, this movie is for me. This movie is catered to someone like me, superheroes. I'm literally going to watch Avengers in 5 hours. So this is for me, but I want to get a more sense of how you felt about a movie like this. How did you feel about this trailer?
So it was really interesting. It reminded me, like, early Spider-Man or Daredevil. It definitely had that kind of gritty film. And this director, I loved Lutera. You know, I mean, he is a primo director. He did... Yeah. Didn't he also do Udaan?
Yes, he did Udaan.
Yeah, which...
Like, love that,
you know,
movie.
I haven't actually seen that one, but that played at film festivals like Sundance and so forth. So here you have somebody who is a prestige director, and then he's turning, you know, partnering with Anurag, who is, frankly, I think sometimes a better writer than he is a director. And yeah, it was really interesting. I loved the sort of homemade costume with the LED, you know, eye mask thing was extremely cool looking. And we don't ever see Harsh's face.
Woo!
We hear... Okay, you could say woo.
Have you seen that guy trying to emote facially? It's painful.
He's very pretty. Okay. I'm giving you, Shad, this is why you have me here, for the perspective of the female gaze.
Sure,
for the
sure.
female gaze, he is very pretty.
I didn't see him take his shirt off a lot in this movie, or at all in the trailer.
Okay.
And they now, do, the other thing too is really interesting that you mentioned that, they go out of their way to really hide his face, even when he's wearing a mask.
Yes. He's always in shadow in the trailer, which is sort of, you know, like a superhero origin. It fit with the kind of trailer that it was. I saw Mirzia. Did you see Mirzia, his debut?
I didn't see it. I saw a lot from it. And okay. after so I heard a lot about it, I didn't really want to put myself through seeing it.
I will say the soundtrack from Mirzia remains one of my favorite
soundtracks. It's a pretty good soundtrack.
Ever.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Flawed film. Okay. Flawed film. You know, I mean, that was kind of the problem. This is something that's pretty unique to the Indian film industry, where you have a star kid, mm-hmm. and you have the pressures on a star kid. They can't start small as a supporting actor in somebody else's film. Right? I mean, mm-hmm. like, they have...
Sure,
so
right.
here you have Anil Kapoor's son, Sonam Kapoor's brother.
Right.
He can't just learn on something smaller. He's thrown into this, what was supposed to be this huge blockbuster film.
Right.
And, yeah, he wasn't that great, but there's a lot of actors that wouldn't necessarily, and so that's the problem.
I agree with you.
Is they
learn and grow longer they're in the industry, basically.
Right, and I mean, and so he's learning on screen. So I think rather than a passionate love story, whatever, you know, tragic love story, maybe going with an action film is a really smart move.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Let's think about Keanu Reeves. How much does Keanu Reeves emote on screen?
Hey. But you leave Keanu out of this.
Okay, but is anyone cooler than John Wick?
No, of course.
No
of
one
course.
Is cooler.
Well,
than
I'll make a closer to home analogy for you. I wasn't the biggest fan of Siddharth Malhotra when he debuted.
Yeah.
I thought he was basically Groot in Bollywood. You know, so I wasn't a fan of his at all. Kapoor and Sons I liked, but again, not his movie, ensemble movie, so pressure's off of him. I think
he was not the best choice for Kapoor and Sons.
I mean, I didn't think he was bad. I think they gave him a role that fit his toolbox.
Yeah.
But I think I became really impressed with him after A Gentleman, which...
I totally agree. He looks amazing doing action, and actually he's not bad at some... playing the straight man in comedy scenes.
Yes, and that's what I preferred. I'm like, you know what? You can't put so much pressure on him to do things that he's not comfortable doing. And like you mentioned, in a sort of a big debut, give him something that suited him. He comes from a modeling background. He looks good. And you can have him be the straight man. And I thought that was really smart and suited to his talents. And then you put him in a movie like Ittefaq, which I thought was the second movie where I was like, oh, now he's actually acting good.
Well, in there he's supposed to kind of play a cipher where you can't really tell what's going on. So
which
perfect.
Again was great. I liked that. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I mean, there's a separate debate to be had about if these star kids should be given so many opportunities to learn on the job. But I mean, even Abhishek Bachchan learned on the job, you know, and now he's kind of, you know, a decent actor. But yeah, I like this movie. I like the concept of this movie.
Yeah.
I like the writers of this movie. I like how everything looks in this movie. I can't speak for Buddy yet, Harshvardhan Kapoor yet. But yeah, that'll be my first experience of him in this movie.
I mean,
so
I think doing an action film is really smart for this point in his career, because he'll probably look very cool doing action scenes, and he doesn't necessarily have to do possibly deep drama kind of acting. And so I think it'll be much better fit for him at this point. And like I said, he looks really good. And I agree with you, like a film like A Gentleman was perfect for Siddharth. I actually recently rewatched it, and it holds up. You're right. He plays a straight man to Jacqueline Fernandez being zany and crazy. And it totally works.
I enjoyed it. I think now how much of the conversation we just had about Harshvardhan Kapoor do you think was taken into consideration in that room with Kashyap and Motwani and Vikas Bhel, and one of them went, you know what, let's just put a mask on him and we'll be fine.
You were so bad.
We can just switch in the stunt double for some scenes. It'll be great. It's fine. He can, you know, he can take five.
I come back to smart producers and directors don't just go for the male gaze. They also take into account female fans.
Fair.
And you know what? We don't mind looking at pretty men.
Do you think we're going to get those shirtless shots, the Marvel shirtless scenes
there's got to be the training montage. Come on. Oh, yeah.
Now, the fun thing about this is, while I'm watching this trailer, and I'm trying to think about, I mean, Krish was the first Bollywood superhero movie. You know, traditional superhero movie. This seems more, like you said, along the vein of Daredevil or Arrow. The mask is very Casey Jones from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It reminds me of a conversation I had with Kathy Gibson, one of our earliest conversations, where we were talking about superhero movies, and Kathy was like, oh, well, Bollywood does have superhero genre. They've had it for decades. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? And she's like, the super cop.
Yes.
The super Singham. Cop is, yeah, right. Even if you go back in the 70s with Amitabh Bachchan, a lot of his roles, Zanjeer, and, you know, the super cop, she's like, she pointed this out to me and it blew my mind. I'm like, holy shit, yeah. Because I took it at face value of, well, Bollywood movies, the guy beats up 20 people. And Kathy saw that from the perspective of, no, when you have the super cop, his morality and ethics are so strong that that's his superpower and that's how he can defeat evil and all that other stuff. And that's the trend of superheroes in Bollywood. And I'm like, holy shit, you're right. That's crazy. So to me, it's really interesting that we come kind of not full circle, but we come 180 into this movie that is a vigilante movie, which is a guy on the street level, not a cop, not an authority figure who... I mean, the trailer is full of just philosophical dialogue about doing the right thing and fighting the good fight. How much do you think this is going to impact Bollywood audiences? Because Bollywood audiences are quite susceptible to seeing what they see on screen and kind of relating it to their own lives. Do you see any sort of, I don't want to say negativity, but like influence of this type of a storyline? Or let's say we have more spin-offs of this, copycats, and then the genre takes off. Do you see that impacting Bollywood audiences at all?
Well, I mean, I can't speak for the mindset of an Indian audience. All I know is that Indian audiences, like everyone else in the world, enjoy superhero films from Hollywood, right? Mm. So why can't India have their own superhero films? There, as you pointed out, there already have been some, like Krish, and I didn't see the one that Tiger Shroff did, but he had one as well. So you know, why not? And why not have it be something different where it's more of a vigilante, you know, I'm sure there's crimes to be solved in Delhi or Mumbai the same way there are in Gotham and Metropolis and all of right?
True.
So
it's interesting.
So you know, and also we just talked about the kind of multiplex audience. So, you know, you can have family films, and you can have like a gritty, this looks like a little bit more gritty superhero film, and not necessarily, Krish was definitely more like, this is a kid's movie.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Disney
version of a superhero.
Right, exactly. Right. So why not have something a little bit grittier? And the fact that Anurag is attached to this will bring in all of his fanboys as well. So, and he definitely has all of his fans who love his grittier style of films. I mean, I enjoy them too. I enjoy all different kinds of Hindi films. And so I think this is great. I think this is a great new development, but I totally agree with you about Kathy explained that to me in person about when we went to see, I don't remember if it was Singham 2 or whatever we saw in the theater together. And she explained to me the whole Super Cop thing. And, you know, you kind of given shade to Telugu and Tamil films because, again, it's the hero fighting 20 guys.
That's been my experience. I'm not shading anyone.
But to me, I come at it as it's no different than a superhero film. If I watch Batman, he doesn't have superpowers,
right.
And yet he can fight off 20 guys and throw them around and whatever.
Yeah,
so, I don't see anything wrong with that. And besides that, I get to see my superhero dance and romance a girl and all the rest of it. So I'm there. And usually it's a machete fight. So I have learned that I am bloodthirsty and I like those machete fights in the Telugu films.
Hey, and I think it's a lot harder to dance too with a machete beside you. So I think that works out.
They make it work. They make it work.
But, amazing.
But, you know, so I think that's a criticism of South films. But to me, those stars, they don't have the Krish, they don't have this is their superhero. You know, essentially, yeah. Those characters are larger than life. They do have the moral values or whatever, and then they fight off all the guys, and the leaves flutter from the ground, and all of that, and the slow-mo happens. To me, it's no different than watching a superhero film, you know. And so I don't have any problem with those kind of films with the wire work and everything. They put those into, you know, he doesn't put a costume on, but he fights the 20 guys. And like I said, Bharata Ninenu, the recent Mahesh Babu film, he plays the chief minister and of the state. And it's a heavy drama. It has a romance, but he also has to fight. You know, rescue a fellow politician and fight off 20 guys, you know, like, so
awesome.
as all chief ministers do.
Well, I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, I think you accomplished what you set out to do today. Watching the trailers of movies like Ranam and Naperu Surya and Naila India, I don't have that perspective anymore of that South Indian movies are like that, because neither of these two movies are like that. The action, like, again, the reason I'm kind of looking forward or excited about Naperu Surya, the Allu Arjun movie, is because the action does look very grounded and very real, and he looks like a badass, but not in a way that would make me roll my eyes. That's kind of how I measure action movies from India, how often I roll my eyes during the trailer. And Tigers in the Hay had a lot of those, whereas these two movies, not at all. So, I mean, I'm changed. I do think that we can both end on this note and in agreement that, you know, we do want to see Harshvardhan Kapoor without his shirt off, but maybe not without his mask off. Melanie, thank you so much for being here today. This was really interesting. I learned a lot about movies that I normally would never have looked at, even if it wasn't for your recommendation. I want to thank you for taking the time to be on the show. Hopefully this is not your first, last time. Hopefully you'll be back. Where can people get a hold of all your videos on your YouTube channel, follow you on Twitter, and give you their own recommendations from today's conversation if they want?
You can follow me on Twitter at PardesiYT, and you can find my Pardesi is the name of my YouTube channel. And like I said, Shah said, I welcome all your comments and suggestions. I learn about new films and new actors and new things in India cinema from all the people that watch my videos and give comments to me, and that's what I love about it, this conversation that I have with all of you.
Perfect. And thank you so much for taking the time to have this conversation with me and teaching me things that I didn't know about.
I enjoyed it so much. And if I can get you to watch even one Malayalam film, I have considered myself. I have made a victory.
I feel like you're taking a page from my book and throwing down a challenge on air that I can't really even avoid. So, yes, I will try to do that. Definitely. Ranam is definitely something that I might watch in theaters. I'm being completely honest. But thank you once again so much for taking the time. This was a lot of work, and I appreciate you putting the time and effort into it. I will definitely check you out on your panel on your next video. In the meantime, for everyone listening, thank you so much for listening. For more episodes and new episodes of this show, please subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or any other preferred podcasting app. If you want to listen directly from your browser or download an MP3 file, feel free to visit my website on blankpagebeatdown.com. And if you like what you heard, please leave me a review and rating on Apple Podcasts. It helps others find the show. And as usual, it helps me feel a lot good about doing this show and validates a lot of my insecurities that have nothing to do with the show. Follow the podcast on Twitter at splitscreen_pod. Follow me personally on Twitter at TheShasha. That's also the best place to get in touch with me for any feedback you might have, comments, questions about the show, and recommendations, like Melanie. If you want to give me a recommendation for Malayalam movies to check out, feel free to do that. And until next time, once again, thank you everybody for listening, and I'll catch you on the next episode.